dumpster right on the beach.
I think.
Yeah.
He might not give it, he might not want it. Yeah, you got it. Good evening. We're gonna call the meeting of the Recreational Fisheries Board to order. I think we got a quorum. Six, yeah. So first item on the agenda is introductions, announcements, and comments. No announcements, no introductions. All right. Ms. McCroskey, you're next. You sure?
Good evening. How are y'all doing? If you look at your tab behind budget, that's what I'm going to go over briefly with y'all. And I'm looking at the last page of the first, the work that we've done through the end of July, or projects that have been approved. So right now you have almost $1.8 million available for project allocation. If I could, I'll share that the same thing I tell y'all all the time, that, or every time you meet, that that money is available because of certain one-time things that happened. You know, a couple of projects were way under budget, money was returned to the fund, and the game department did a reconciliation and found out they owed us, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is also in, reflected in that figure as well. So once that money is obligated, I'm going to guess that you won't see that much money again, but I could certainly be wrong. Does anybody have any questions about that? Or okay. Mr. Rhodes, could I had a couple of other things that y'all had asked me to check on about money. May I?
Yeah, go right ahead, please. I just wanted to ask one question.
Yes, sir.
Have you met with the game department on this reconciliation and whatever?
Actually, that was exactly what I was going to talk to y'all about.
All right.
Thank you. I know that I promised y'all some information about charges that DGIF wants to assess for the bare cost of selling the saltwater fishing license or using their agents to sell that. They've given us some figures. Certainly, I know I shared those with y'all. They certainly made my eyes pop open. And I have been trying, Mr. Rhodes and the rest of the board, to arrange a meeting with the folks at the game department in Richmond. But the people that we'll be meeting with are budget and finance people, and state government closed its books June 30th. And, you know, we're also right in the middle of budget preparation, so it's been a little hard. But I think tentatively next week sometime we're going to have a meeting, but I need to get back in touch with them. Because y'all had asked that I, you know, we get several pieces of information for y'all relating to cost. But I apologize that we've not been able to do that, but golly, I'm going to keep trying, and I'm, like I said, I'm hopeful that I'll be able to finalize the meeting for next week, or if not, then the week after. Is that?
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Yes.
I'd like to ask a question, if I might. So the one-time windfall, however you characterize the monies that are due to the fund from the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, do we have an understanding of the practices and processes by which that money was unaccounted for a while and then became available, so that we understand how that process works in the future? Because because we end up in our budget cycles getting whipsawed a little bit in terms of what's available and what's not available. It's at least for me, hard to get my head wrapped around what that income picture looks like. I'm sure it's a headache for you as well.
Well, I think that, Mr. Southall, is actually our most challenging issue, because when we get money and everything, we do reconcile, and we try to reconcile. What I was told was that they, I guess within the last several years, they've switched over to a new system. But they also had at least one or two old systems in place, too, that had information in them about the recreational fishing license. So what we were told was that there was a reconciliation done of the three systems, and that's how it came to light that the, you know, this very substantial amount of money was owed to VMRC. And then I believe that happened again, but also for a much lesser amount of money. We have been up there and tried to get that very information, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about, you know, because it's not quite clear, I don't think, to all of us exactly, you know, what processes they use. And we were, so when we went up there, several months ago, we were able to talk to the IT people trying to get, you know, some information, because I believe last year, or was it this year, they didn't know how much they owed us, so they went ahead and overpaid us quite a substantial amount of money, and then, you know, drew that back and didn't draw it back. They just reduced the money that was transferred for several months. So we've been pursuing that as well. And I promise you that once we get an understanding, I will absolutely come back and report to y'all.
Yeah, I think that's a good piece of information to have as we're considering paying a fairly substantial bill for their services.
Yes, sir. And also, y'all had asked that we get some information from them relative to just the cost of selling a license.
Mm-hmm.
And, I feel very badly. In fact, I went over and told Rob this afternoon that I felt badly that I don't have that information for you. But we will continue to work towards getting the meeting and finding out, you know, exactly who we need to talk with. One of the problems, too, Mr. Southall, is that air staff here has been here a long time. A lot of the fiscal people at the game department are new within the last year or two. And so that's, you know, that's, they're not as familiar with what went on before, you know, so.
Okay. So, Jane, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
And is this an oversimplification? Isn't a certain price for each that they should charge for each license sold? And the number of licenses that you sell should not be a complicated matter. I mean, so.
Well, no, sir, you're right. You're right. I feel badly, Mr. Randolph. I don't know exactly, you know, what else I can share. I'm not sure how they do their monthly reconciliation. We did get some information about how they got information to make their deposits, because the state expects you to deposit very quickly. And we've asked for certain types of information. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. So the thing that we're actually working towards, and my apologies that I didn't already mention this, is an MOU between the two agencies, so that we will, you know, have all that set down. And
all of that would include all of their fees and their whatever they need in order to make that process happen.
Yes,
correct?
Sir. Yes, okay. Sir. So, again, I'm just sorry that I can't give you more information tonight.
Mr. Randolph, to add on to what Ms. McCroskey said, I contacted a friend of mine in the game department who is, I think, deputy director. Asked him the same question, how much does it cost for a license to the department? And his answer was, I don't know. Nobody's ever asked that question before. And they're getting ready to raise their fees, license fees.
They were just raised a year or two ago.
They can raise them every 3 years. So, you know, based on the code and the, what's the?
Consumer price.
Yeah, the consumer price index. So that's where it comes from.
But maybe if they could figure out exactly what it costs them to sell a license.
I don't think they want
they
you to know.
To raise their fees. Yeah.
I really don't. I don't think they want anybody to know.
Well, any more questions on that? Or
on that happy note, I don't have any more questions.
Good. Last thing, as y'all know, we have the Fisherman's Identification Program. We're working to supply information to the federal government. Part of our registration process in Virginia is that we do operate a system where people can call in if they're, you know, if they don't like to use their computer or whatever. And currently that's operating with a contractor that the state already had under contract, and we've been doing that, I believe, for 2 years. The state's contract with that particular contractor has ended. We've had the state extended it for a year. And we have put out our own solicitation to find someone to handle the telephone registration process for us. Because it was a proposal and we evaluated everything, not just price, we have not yet awarded the contract. And so, unfortunately, because of that, the information is, you know, not such that I can share it with you, but I will tell you that I feel like that we've negotiated a heck of a deal, you know, price-wise. But again, I will have that information by the next time y'all meet. Oh, and just Mr. Rhodes, I don't know how you'd like to handle this, but we've had I just wanted to share with you, we've had several inquiries from the town of Saxis relative to what's acceptable as a match and what isn't. And I don't know if, I don't believe the mayor's here tonight, but I believe there is a representative from the town, and I just wanted to let you know, y'all know about that as well.
Okay.
Thank
when we,
you
when
very
we get
much.
To it. Thank you. Any other questions for Ms. McCroskey? All right. Minutes were sent out electronically. Any changes, comments, amendments?
None.
All right, motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Next item on the list is Greenback Harbor Enhancements. Now open for discussion.
Good evening, members of the board. I'm Stuart Hall with Accomack County Public Works, representing Greenbackville Harbor. Also with me tonight are Mr. Bob Wright and Perry Romig from the Harbor Committee, and Reggie Mariner, our consulting engineer with George Miles and Buer. You'd ask that we come back to this meeting after our bid opening for the project, and hopefully you received a copy of those bids. They did come in favorable, and we do have the local match in the bank and ready to go. The other two items from the last meeting, you'd requested a layout that shows the recreational commercial areas and the parking, and we also had, along with that, a proposed revision to the contract language. The draft contract that we first received spoke to no commercial activity, and we've been up front with the board from the beginning that this is a mixed-use site. We do have some commercial activity and recreational activity, but we haven't been experiencing any problems with the two groups and don't anticipate any in the future. That's about all I have. We have our engineer here, members of the committee, of the Harbor Committee. If there are any questions we can answer with regard to.
All right, Mr. Hall, you said that, never mind, you want to remove that. Okay, let's see. And this has all been rebid?
Yes, sir.
All right, so this is basically the first time that we've seen a rebid.
Yes, that's right. The bid opening was last week, Wednesday, I believe.
All right.
So I think Mr. Rhodes,
Mr. Southall, go ahead.
In looking at the request to remove and to replace language in terms of mixed use, I think these provisions are consistent with what we've done in other facilities such as Messick Point. Is that correct? Has staff looked at that? The mixed use language proposed in this proposal relative to the separation of recreational and commercial usage. I don't recall the language that was in the Messick Point facility work that was done in Pocosin, for instance, but I think it is a similar mixed use facility, and I think similar provisions are in place with the city of Pocosin. So what I'm trying to get to is this proposal consistent with what we've done elsewhere relative to other mixed use facilities? I mean, I think it's a reasonable thing to check up on. I'm not sure that I would hold action based on that, but this proposal, Mr. Rhodes, looks like the way that I'm familiar with other mixed use facilities being operated.
Yes, and I believe in the case, and it's clearly delineated, isn't it? Which part is?
I believe so.
Yeah,
I believe it is.
Let me ask staff parliamentary question. This is a rebid. It's the first time we've had it open to the public. Is this going to fall into line with put it into the normal process to actually vote on it next go around? Since it's a rebid, the public hadn't seen it. This is the first opportunity that we've had to see it other than what we got email-wise last week. And this, my thought process is that keeping it open for public comment is to wait and actually vote on it at the November meeting when we vote on all the projects. Is that correct? The other thing I'm looking at is we're three members short tonight, and one of them has a definite interest in this project. And I would like to have it still on the table so that he can comment and be a part of the decision. Okay.
Perhaps, Mr. Rhodes, we could ask what does that mean to the project?
I'm afraid our window is closing. I could just share a few comments. I went through this process with Quimby Harbor, and fortunately with that one, we didn't have to go through a rebid. But I mean, you guys approved the project, the concept, the funding, and so forth, and we went with our procurement process and our specs and so forth. It just seems like we're kind of getting down into the details here. The scope of the project hasn't changed. We changed the materials slightly. It was a little bit over-engineered, but as far as the layout, you know, we're replacing the bulkhead with vinyl, replacing the boat ramp. Some of this Port Authority money, which they're actually contributing more than you guys are, has been out there for a couple, 2 or 3 years, and they like you to use it quickly. And last February when we met with them, they did grant our carryover, but you know, it was clear that they like to keep the money moving. So I guess I'm a little disappointed if this gets carried on another meeting. I actually thought three or four meetings ago that this would be wrapped up, but I'm sorry, I'm a little disappointed, I guess. Mr. Schultz, we did speak last week. I know he's unable to make the meeting, and he apologized to me. But he has seen the information, the numbers, and so forth, and he didn't express any concerns with me at the time.
Yes, ma'am. All right.
Continue.
Okay.
Ed, have they not done everything that we asked them to the last time they came?
Yeah. I think the only thing we're waiting on now is for the Pocosin language to get back up here.
I don't know that for me, that's a curiosity to me. What I see in the language is consistent with the way I believe other mixed-use facilities are operated. I just like that just as a double check.
All right. Well, let's table this and for a little, until she gets back, and we'll come back to it.
Okay.
If I could ask for one more comment. With Quimby, it was similar. It had a diagram that went with it, and it's actually these projects were put in around the same time, within a couple of years of each other, with community block grant funds. Similar situation.
You can well understand our need to be careful about these mixed use facilities, because we get a lot of feedback from constituents about that kind of thing. So
right.
All right, we'll wait for her to get back, and we can get through some more of these. All right, multi-year projects for 2014 renewal, game fish tagging, Lewis, Gillingham,
and Susanna.
Any comments from the public on this or anything y'all want
to
say? Okay, I see Larry going. All right.
To address you again on the tagging program, Sheldon Erie, Tidewater Anglers Club.
Okay.
I've been participating in it for 4 or 5 years, and I think the value that we get out of the program is substantial. And from my own perspective, I can watch the geographic, I guess you'd say, migration of the fish that we tag, or I tag specifically. And I get a pretty good idea of where the fish are going. In my particular case, I tag a lot of spotted sea trout. And I can see the move up into Maryland. I can see some year-to-year continuing movement of fish out of Elizabeth River into the Mobjack Bay to spawn. I can also see an occasional movement of fish down North Carolina as far as the Neuse River. And I've seen repeated tagging recaptures in certain rivers in Maryland. So since I'm going to talk to you again when we start talking about the genetics on spotted sea trout, but the point is the same. We don't have a management plan in Virginia for spotted sea trout. A lot of other states do. We have not seen fit to do one. Because of that, we really don't have a good idea of what our population is. We don't have a good idea of how populations go up and down, how we're going to account for it, what we need to do about it from the perspective of regulation, other things down the line. So any of these type of things that provide us, quote, as a commercial fisherman would say, science to back up what it is we need to do with the population, to protect the population, to be able to ensure that it continues to be a healthy population and so forth, are positive in my perspective. And so I'd like to say that I think that the tagging program produces some very positive results. And I can't tell you how many times I'm asked by other anglers, what did you see? Where did you get any back recently? Where did they come from? So forth down the line. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Any other comments on the fish tagging project? All right. Number B, Year of the Young American Eel. Any comments? Larry?
Good evening. Larry Snyder, CCA. It's kind of the same comment we've had in the past. Sure, eels are an important forage species for a lot of fish that we care about, cobia, striped bass, others. However, they're a large commercial, they represent a large commercial fishery along the Atlantic coast, and that's primarily the reason that we have historically not supported recreational dollars going for this. So that's, we haven't changed that perspective. Thank you.
All right, any questions to Mr. Snyder? Thank you, sir. Any other comments? Wallet Bro matching funds, Rob? Or any comments? Up or down? Larry?
See you the last 6 years. Of our comments, and you've got it here again, unfortunately. Again, these are not my personal comments. They represent our Government Affairs Committee and CCA Virginia. We've been consistently saying that, you know, commercial should be stepping up and supporting this. So.
All right. Thank you. All right. Stock assessment of weak fish, $20,000. Any comments from the public? Any questions? Larry? Yeah, just go to the front row when you're done. He won't have so far to walk.
Frank's a couple of years older, so he pulls, you know, seniority on me. This is a good deal, I think. We've obviously got a problem with weak fish, and it's not that much money here, so that's not a real showstopper. But on the other hand, I think you all know this has been a historically very significant commercial species, and again, we feel like, you know, if we get these fish back, they are going to proportionally reap the benefits a lot more than the recreational anglers are. But again, we support it partially. We'd like to see equal share from the commercial side.
Okay. Point taken. Any questions on this one for Mr. Snyder? Thank you. All right. Alicia went looking, huh? Okay. All right. That's fine. All right. New projects. Town of Saxis. Any comments on that one? Larry? Any comments from the board?
I have a couple comments.
Mr. Crawley?
I've looked at this project. I mean, and I found it kind of interesting. And I drove to Saxis, and I've talked to some people in the fishing community. You know, when I look at the depth of the water there, I just cannot imagine how you could build a pier and then catch the fish in that depth of water. And then I spoke with an engineer about the plan about putting a retaining out front there, out in front of the pier. And what his comments to me was that what's going to happen is, as the water comes in, you know, then it'll, you know, of course it's going to carry sand. Sand will drop on the other side of that wall, and he believes it'll create less water than what they have now. Now, it's only a couple feet of water, 2.5 feet at low tide. So I just think that his general feeling with the construction of it and some of the things that I've read is that probably the next hurricane that the timbers and things that they're going to put down will be up on the beach or in the pier, one of the two.
Okay. But, all right. Thank you, sir. Any other comments? All right. next one is patterns and prey selectivity of key sport fishes in the bay. Rob Latour, how are you this evening? Good.
I'm Rob Latour from VIMS. I just wanted to briefly make you aware of two small issues that are germane to the project. One is we've been able to successfully borrow some of the prey sampling gear from others at VIMS. It's not the exact design that we were thinking would be optimal, but we were looking at a starting point, and we deployed it this past week on the September CESMAP cruise to sort of begin logistical working out the problems and bugs of deploying this gear. So we're, I guess, if you will, trying to build concurrent with the project cycle so that if we're successfully funded, we'll hit the ground running next year. Secondly, since the last time I was here, we've been discussing internally sort of a parallel project to tackle this question in the laboratory as well. Field work is great, but field work comes with lots of uncontrolled variables. Laboratory settings are not great because they're simulations of the environment, but they allow you to control for variables. The, you know, a comprehensive way of going about this would be to do the two in parallel. So I think over the remaining fall and winter, we'll be looking into designing laboratory studies that would be sort of complementary to this field project. Not asking for any additional amendments to the budget, just make you aware that we're looking to work in parallel with both approaches. And I can take questions if there aren't.
All right, let me, before we do that, any comments from the public? Larry?
Again, similar to my comments on the separate study on weak fish, we've got three fish here that we have focus on: striped bass, summer flounder, and great and weak fish or gray trout. If you kind of remove croaker and spot from the equation, if you look at all the other species that you know, recreational anglers fish for, these are probably the three paramount ones that are also of significance to the commercial sector. You know, so many of the others that recreational anglers focus on, you know, the proportionate commercial impact is not that great, you know, on some of the fish. For example, cobia, you know, you've got over 90% of those that are being taken by recreational anglers. And we could go on with a bunch of others. But these three have kind of have been historically important to both sectors. And because of that, again, we feel like equal funding should be coming from the commercial side on that.
Okay. Rob, I got one question for you. Have you had a chance to review the peer review?
I have not. I'm sorry.
Okay. When you get it, just look at the very last paragraph about making sure that the results are conveyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're very committed to that.
Okay. That's the only negative I saw in there.
We're open to suggestions on how best to accomplish that. Our thought was to see if we could maybe attend some of the angler groups' meetings, maybe make a presentation. We make most of our data available via the web anyway in summarized form. We can consider other opportunities, whatever you we're open to suggestions.
I'd consider everything you just said, and then I'm sure Mr. Snyder will get with you on other ways to keep it informed.
Thank you.
Right. Any questions?
I'll just give you a little bit of feedback in that regard. I have from a you know, the Peninsula Saltwater Club, I have seen a lot of the VIMS researchers show up and volunteer to give us that feedback and from time to time, and I'll give them good credit for that. They've done a great job of feeding that information back, so I'm sure that's part of what you know.
That was what I had in mind, but there are other more direct avenues. We're open to those, for mm-hmm. sure.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Tautog, any comments? Larry. All right. You don't have to say anything in the back if you don't want to. You jumped up. Okay.
Mr. Rose, I guess I have a question for VMRC staff, perhaps on Tautog relative to the regulations. It seems like I remember we've had cases in the past where the tagging data from our tagging program has helped us in dealing with proposed TOTOG regulations and that sort of thing. Does BMRC see this particular study as adding to that body of knowledge in the future in terms of regulatory action, or do you have an opinion about that one way or the other?
It would be different information. What you're referring to, I think, occurred in 2005. Mm-hmm. When Dr. John Honig of VIMS was able to provide a catch curve analysis, and at the time it meant that we had to reduce the fishing mortality in Virginia to a lesser extent than some of the other states because we had that information.
Right.
And also, Dr. Honig has subsequently gone through that information with us as a follow-up, and it's not as strong as it was back then even. So. You know, I think this would be a different set of information.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions on or comments on TOTOG? Speckled trout. Comments?
Yes.
That's fine.
I think this has value. Not just because it has to do with speckled trout, but because of the fact that we, again, mentioned we don't have a management plan. In some of the other states, and I fish for spotted sea trout all the way down through Texas and other areas, they have done this type of work, and they've been able to find out there are genetically independent species of speckled trout that may only go 40 miles from where they were originally spawned and stay in that general area. And I think they've made specifically creel census, or they've done creel census in areas, and areas that have a lot of pressure where there's a unique species, they reduce the creel limit, and they've done that by areas based on the species. So I think from a management perspective, the ability to identify if we have independent species, or genetically independent parts of the speckled trout species overall in Virginia in different areas would help us with management of species overall. So I think it's the type of information we need in our cookbook, if you will. We need the science to back up decisions. And I think this type of thing would give us some valuable information for future decision-making in Virginia and for negotiation with North Carolina and other states that may use the same resource. We know that Maryland has a certain percentage of our catches. I can show you my tagging data where they're coming from. So the bottom line is that type of thing will allow us to interface with the states better, I think, at a BMRC level. Okay.
Thank you very much, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
All right. For the speaker?
No, it's probably going to go to Rob.
All right.
And that is, is the state looking at any type of management plan for speckled trout? Have you heard any...
Not currently. Speckled trout is something that we've been involved with North Carolina a few years ago as far as their plan went. So they used our data and looked at sort of a regional approach for reducing fishing mortality, but nothing in Virginia. You are aware, though, that I guess 2 years ago there was a change in our regulation for the wintertime fishing and in the possession limit, and also on a size that you could have. But recently at the Fin Fish Management Advisory Committee, it was posed that perhaps that type of regulation, a reduction in the possession limit, should be something that should be throughout the state, and no one really wanted to pursue that. So there hasn't been anything active. As you know, probably there's some controversy last year with the commercial fishery having ended so quickly, and there are a lot of concerns with what were thought at that time with sort of maverick-type haul seine operations, which really weren't maverick at all. They're really an old-fashioned haul seine operation. It's just that most of the time that operation has been down in the Virginia Beach area. It was in the Pocosin River, so there was a lot of activity, which again came to a head at a Fishery Management Advisory Committee meeting and really no action was taken, no recommendations were taken. I think probably we'll just have to wait and see about future management, and that's really all the activity surrounding speckled trout the last few years.
Any further questions? All right. We're back on Greenville back. Oh, Larry, I'm sorry.
I agree with the previous speaker as far as this is needed. And I think you see a lot of examples of how there hasn't been some overarching management plan up and down the coast. If you look from Texas clear along the Gulf Coast on up the Atlantic coast, you see a variety of approaches being made. I mean, you can, like dove season in some places, you know, shoot as many as you can, and then other places they've taken a very proactive approach where they've even made game fish. That's, several states have done that. That's a management plan right there, if you want to go real simplistically. And I think to some degree you may have people, this is not my organization speaking, but you may have individuals kind of moving towards some direction like that if they see kind of no overarching way of dealing with the species. Lots of times in the past, some people felt like, well, you can't really get a grip on them because, you know, the populations ebb and flow based upon, you know, the weather, winter kill factors, in other words. So, you know, if they're down, it was because, you know, a few years ago or something, we had X amount of winters or something. But global warming, whatever, we're getting a little warmer, consistent weather here, and you're seeing a resurgence. And I think you're seeing more people interested in catching these fish. It was, again, a smaller number of real niche type individuals that were fishing for them. Now more and more people are. I think any additional information we get on the species is going to be very valuable in going about a better approach towards this species. Like they pointed out, at least we've got a little bit of a reduction in what can be taken in that confined hot ditch area, which is a good thing. But I don't want to moan on here, but this is a good positive program here. I think this research will shed some good light. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Alicia. Thank you.
So the takeaway is it is indeed consistent, correct?
Yes. Okay. It's pretty close.
Yep. Looks like it to me.
All right.
Well, Mr. Chairman, in lieu of that, I'd make a motion that we approve this project.
But you want to make a motion first, take it out of sequence?
Yes.
All right, is there a second to the motion, take it out of sequence?
Second it.
Second by Mr. Bannister. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, Mr. Randolph.
Yeah, I make a motion that we approve the project.
Second?
Second.
All right, Mr. Southall seconds. Any further discussion by members of the board? All right. All those in favor of approving the... Wait a minute, before I go any further... is this going to need the, checklist? I know, but I'm making sure. Thank you. All right, Mr. Hall, front and center. We're going to run down through this list one more time.
So you have a copy of it, Mr. Hall? Well, if you've got it, then I'll
have you got something that we've already checked off? Let's see. Oh, boy, lots of notes, too. Does Alicia have this one, too? Now, why am I doing this? Yeah, making sure. All right. All right, and you got the insurance and everything. If another storm blows through. All right. All right. Back to Mr. Randolph's motion to approve Greenbackville Harbor Enhancements Project as proposed, the new proposal that's been submitted. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. That wasn't all that bad, was it? All right. That completes the business. Our next meeting is on the 18th of November because Veterans Day is the week before. And we have a work session at 5:30 and final recommendations at 7 o'clock. And then first cycle for 2014 are due on the 15th of December, and our first meeting in January is the second Monday, correct? Don't make it any later than that day. Okay. All right. Any other business to come before the board? Any comments, suggestions? I'll take a motion to adjourn.
We adjourn.
Carlisle's got it. Second.
No. Larry.
Larry. All right, back up. Larry, come on.
Dan, it's just to make a verbal comment in reference to what we submitted previously in your package there from CCA. Again, it's just to beat the banner that, you know, we think the REEF program is, you know, if there's ever a good conduit that you'd want to send recreational dollars into, it would be, you know, doing anything you can to expand or enhance the reefs that we've got out there. We think Mike's done a real good job as far as, you know, got material out there, getting them onto the reefs, but the reality is we still have just a very small percentage of the sites that are actually covered. So if you're kind of quasi-competent fish on reefs like I am, you know, it's still pretty challenging to get on the right place and catch a fish on those things. But again, we do have money available, and I'd like to get us into the situation. I'd like to see the situation where we're going to be having, you know, reef money as a part of every cycle as it comes in like it has in the past. We kind of got away from that for a variety of reasons, but I'd like to see it get back to that. Secondarily, we've had some of our guys kind of kick around the idea of, you know, maybe some investigation could be taken into, you know, how you could perhaps allow some degree of corporate sponsorship, you know, for Reese, where you could get, you know, different outfits that would be willing to donate money, you know, in return for a little bit of their name or publicity that goes forth, anything. I mean, there's a lot of creative stuff that goes on all along the coast, and any way we can, when we have the funds, and we don't have other projects, that should be going to the reef, the way we see it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Larry, just to kind of segue in on a little bit on what you said, and Ms. McCroskey, correct me if I go the wrong way on this one, but I believe a couple of years ago, it's been less than four or maybe five, Mike's money was taken in the budget process, correct? And that put a dent in it, and I think we're still rebuilding from that to some degree. And I would suggest that if you want some reefs, put in, you know, get with Mike and put in a request. I know. I mean, the biggest thing that concerns me with leaving a pot of money to be seen by everybody is somebody, one of these 140 people, and especially about six or eight of them, to make a final decision on a budget, is taking a piece of that money and using it for something else, and taking general fund money away and using that to fund another one of their projects. Because as long as it falls within the guidelines that's in the code for the recreational fisheries, they'll sit there and transfer the money, whether we like it or not. And that's what was done with Mike's money a few years ago. I think they took it out of his pot and put it in law enforcement. So, you know, you just got to kind of watch what goes on, and I know you keep an eye on it, too, and some of your folks do. So it's just going to be a matter of keeping an eye on it and hope nobody takes it unless there's something comes in to spend some of it so we can encumber that money so it can't be used.
Mr. Chairman, I have another suggestion also.
All right, Mr. Randolph.
To go on what you're saying, you know, we can't create projects, but we can certainly entertain projects that come before us in any given cycle.
The way I see it, though, it's like an ongoing project, in other words, reef enhancement. It would be different if maybe it's a new project, if it's a new site, but if you've got Back River Reef and we just want to put more stuff on it, like you've got an excess amount of money or whatever, X amount of reef balls or whatever, go there. Okay, problem solved.
But
again,
we can't initiate that.
Right. Again, if you're hearing what I'm saying, if you see some extra money someplace and there happens to be something on the books here that says that we want to enhance Back River Reef at X number of dollars for whatever cycle.
I don't know. You know, I've asked the question before, can we as a board initiate a project? And the answer is, nah, it's not a good idea. But it's like the fishing clinics. You know, cycle after cycle after cycle after cycle, we get the same ones in every cycle, so there's no reason why somebody can't do the same thing. I mean, how long does it take to type up the form and put the money in, Rob?
Pretty graceful there.
Athletic, aren't you?
Goes to right knee.
Just so everyone knows what to expect, the board decided to have the first cycle dedicated essentially to the kids' fishing projects, the expedited projects. So it's really the cycle we're in now, which should have been a project relating to reef enhancement. And consequently, the way things are set up by the board from last year, it would be the second cycle of 2014 where there would be, if there is to be a reef proposal, that's when it would occur. And that's just so next time around there's not frustration that something can't be put in the first cycle. So that's a little, I guess, bookkeeping exercise for you to think about on the way we've done this. And the reason we went back to two cycles was to have the first cycle dedicated to the kids' fishing clinics, the projects, and have the second cycle dedicated to the other elements that you oversee and make recommendations to the commission. And yes, I agree that it is not probable that the board making a direct recommendation to the commission, typically what the commission does with other boards, advisory boards, is to direct it right back to the advisory board for discussion and debate and everything else. So that wouldn't be expeditious at all.
So I have one follow-up on that.
All right.
So given the discussion that we had earlier this evening regarding the unexpected nature of funding availability, we'll say, just to try to think of a better way to phrase it, I guess it would probably be within our purview at the next work session to consider our prior actions relative to administering funding in terms of the cycles, what we considered in which cycles, with regard to the fact that we now, because of the way our funding has kind of appeared in the budget, may want to go back and reevaluate that approach in order to deal with the fiscal situation that we find ourselves in. All right, so perhaps, Mr. Chairman, that's something we could add to our next work session to reconsider that in light of the way the monies have been flowing into the board for consideration, and then decide whether or not a special dispensation could be considered for the first cycle next year. Does that sound reasonable?
Well, I mean, I think again, you have the ability as a board to consider changing what you adopted as well. Yes, you have the ability to do that because you're the ones who made the rule. And then I just wanted to follow up, and I know I talked to Larry Snyder by email in response to what he sent in, but we do have an outstanding balance that we're working with through Wallop Bro. So one of the projects that you're looking at for match, we do have the second Wallop Bro project for artificial reefs in 3 years, I think it is. So that is headed forward. It's just slightly or close to $200,000 there. And then I also indicated to Mr. Snyder that we still have money that we have to spend from past allotments that were recommended by the board and approved by the commission. It's not as if there hasn't been some opportunities available, but there's only so much that can be done in terms of using materials of opportunity and occasionally some structures that are put over as well. So there's still some money left over from the past for reef replenishment. That doesn't take away from the idea or the CCA idea that there could be sort of a schedule for the future, and it might ease this problem a little bit, but that's something you will talk about in the work session, it looks like.
Yeah, we can, without changing the rules, there's parliamentary ways of getting around them.
So just a topic for us to consider perhaps in the next work session, right?
Yeah, I mean, we could sit right here and make and pass a motion to suspend the rules.
And
do what we need to do and then put them back into place.
And Mr. Chairman, it wouldn't be beyond this board not to take a request out of session either.
You're right.
Out of sequence, so.
We did it tonight, so.
Yeah.
All right, any further business? Larry, y'all done? All right. Any further business? Meeting's adjourned, 8:10. Thank you all for coming. Appreciate it.